show today, we're chatting with the fabulous team from Barfoot & Thompson Pamua, all about the South Auckland investment market. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along. It's great to be back for 2025. This is season 6 of Property Matters. What became just a little idea, a little seed many, many years ago has now developed into our 6th season. So thank you so much for tuning in. Now, we are very much your show. So if you've got something you'd like us to talk about, or perhaps you have a question around the latest legislation that's out there, email us propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz and we'll do our best to answer them in future episodes. Now, speaking of episodes, you can download them all from your favourite podcast sites. We're up on Spotify, Apple and Samsung, iHeartRadio, Pretty Well Anywhere, and YouTube as well. So check out past episodes. We've got a fantastic lineup of guests over the next few weeks, a real mixture of talking real estate, property management, investment spaces, mortgages, finance, and leadership. Next week, we have a very special guest back. It's Nicole Lewis to launch her latest book, so make sure you tune in. But this week, I am absolutely delighted to welcome to the show two fabulous people from Barfoot & Thompson, Pamua, Sunaj and Jeff. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Now, Jeff, you're the head of property management. Sunaj, you are a property manager out at Barfoot & Thompson, Pamua, and I guess the surrounding areas. And for our first episode this year, we thought we want to talk about that South Auckland market. But you know me, I like a good story. So before we get into the facts around investment, etc., let's have a chat about your career journey. So Jeff, tell us a little bit about you and your career journey before coming to Barfoot & Thompson.
Yes, I previously worked in the retail sales for a few years and based on the customer service. So that gives me more knowledge to handle on the future careers. So and then I also invest properties myself. So,
okay.
Yeah, on the side of the story that I understand being a landlord and, you know, the thing we need to provide the service on the for the landlord. Yeah.
Brilliant. What made you suddenly decide to join Barfoot & Thompson when you've had that other sort of experience in retail? Because you headed into sales first, is that right?
Yes. I had I was in the retail for IT. So then I decided, well, maybe to try to sell the property, see if I can, how good am I? So then I tried a real estate sales agent with Barfoot & Thompson. So,
and how did that journey go?
Yeah,
because that's tough.
Yeah, it is. It's very tough. I had tried 1.5 years, and that did work, but it didn't work so well. So then I decided, maybe I should try something else.
And what made you then go property management? Because I mean, if sales isn't hard enough, you're heading into a very tough industry.
Yeah, so it's all come to my previous branch manager, and he advised me that you should try the property management industry. Back that time, I had no idea what is property management. And then he always encouraged me, say, you are good attention in details, and you should definitely try this. And yes, I did. So here I am. I found out and I realized that I'm good at what I'm doing.
What is it about property management that interests you? And I guess you said earlier you're an investor yourself. You know, does that play part of that? What is it that interests you so much about this space?
Yes, I think that's the most about part is we have access to all the current legislations, and with that knowledge I have myself, because I have a couple of rentals myself, so I know and how to manage it properly, and also we get to access the handful of contractors and which who provide our great price rather than you go outsiders.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. So last year you were promoted to head of property management. So what does this job entail, and what is, I guess, different to being just a property manager?
So being the property manager is just they normally work on their own dedicated portfolios, and they manage property and set up viewings and inspections. But being the head of property management, more like a leadership role, and you will be always there to managing staff and be supportive when the staff need it. And also you have a sound of knowledge, and you need to understand what you're talking about all the time.
What are some of the biggest challenges you face, or the hardest part of the job? And you're not allowed to say Sanish because he's here. But what do you think are some of the biggest or toughest parts of your job?
Yes, I guess the biggest tough part of this job is to managing staff, and because we have all the different background cultures, and I want to get work done properly, but I also do need to respect everyone, and I want to make a really happy office culture, so we can move together as a team rather than individually.
Nice, nice. So a real mix. You're dealing with owners and all their requirements, tenants, which I imagine can be a roller coaster in itself, and then you put in a culturally diverse team as well to manage. Bit of a juggle act every day,
absolutely.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Outside of work, just to get the picture of you, you're a family man. What do you like doing?
Yeah, I like to spend time with family, especially with my daughter. I'll take her out for walk and bicycle with the free time.
And my research tells me that you've got a very talented daughter, young daughter, who plays a certain instrument.
Yes, she plays violin and piano.
And where did that take you last year?
We take her to the Japan, and she represented New Zealand, so she got a fourth award.
Fourth in the world,
yeah.
Representing New Zealand in piano or violin?
Violin.
Violin. How old is she?
She is now 8 years old.
Wow, 8 years old representing New Zealand. That is so cool. That is so cool. Do you like the violin? Because I learnt the violin as a kid, and I'm sure I tortured my neighbours because I just got as far as Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and it wasn't pleasant.
Absolutely. That's a bit of tough.
You've been through that bit?
Yeah.
Do you play an instrument yourself? Did she learn this from you?
No, she learned from another teacher. So I play piano when I was young.
How come?
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Thanks, Jeff. So, Sanish, what about you? Any violins hiding away in your back cupboard?
Not really, yeah. I used to play guitar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but not a great player.
Okay.
Yeah, so myself, I'm not really expert into any instruments.
Yeah.
But I love guitar, so maybe guitar is something that I have practiced.
Brilliant. So tell us a little bit about your career journey. Did it start here in New Zealand?
Yes. So I shifted to New Zealand quite young.
Yeah.
I migrated from Nepal to New Zealand when I was 19 years old. And since then, I started as a student, then just started my professional journey, and I'm here at the Balfour & Thompson right now.
Nepal to New Zealand.
Yes.
I mean, that couldn't be sort of further than two worlds apart. What was that adjustment like at 19? Did New Zealand feel big and different, or what?
Well, it was like a roller coaster at the start. I'm someone who has always been like taken care by parents. My mom would like cook for me. She would do everything for me. And suddenly shifting here, luckily I had a cousin back then who used to look after me. But still, like shifting from family, it was a different challenge for me. And also, at that point of time when I shifted here, I promised myself and I had a dream of becoming something, and so start working towards it. So it was a different thing.
Yeah, and what made you then decide property management? Because you first came into more the hospitality area, is that right? So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I started with one of the biggest hotel at that point of time. It was Grand Millennium Auckland, and started as an F&B attendant. I enjoyed that role, got to learn a lot of things. But at the same time, I was always keen on learning something more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a personality who is not only like being limited, but I would like to explore much more. And so since then, I shifted to departments. I went to different departments and learned different things about each department. Then I thought I would enjoy front of house more. rather than F&B. Then shifted to front office and started as a night auditor. And working nights was really difficult at that point of time. I worked for like almost 2 years, and it was a difficult journey. And at that point of time, being a student, I used to have some part-time jobs and casual jobs. And I was working at a liquor store. The liquor store owners, they used to have this company who used to manage building across Central Business District, and they saw me struggling, and they were like, I think it was time of COVID, that point of time,
right?
And I almost graduated, and they saw me struggling, and they were like, I think you should resign from your night job, and you should shift to a full time job with us. We've got an opportunity for you. And I shifted to that job. That was a facilities and building management role.
Mm-hmm.
So I started that role, and I quite enjoyed a lot. And at the same point of time, they said like, hey, we've recently bought this small portfolio. It's called property management. That's the first time I heard of something called property management. And they said like, we've got this small portfolio of 83 properties, and would you like to give it a try? And I said, but I don't know what's in, what's the property management, and what's what sort of roles, and what is the description of the job? And they said, like, don't worry, we'll train you for everything. Well, they trained me a lot, and they gave me quite a good space where I could, like, make mistakes, and I could learn from it. And after working with them for, like, almost 2 years, then I thought, like, it's my time to, like, step out and learn something more about this property management, because if I had to compare, I enjoyed property management more because it was more of a direct relationship with the owners. So I then shifted to property management, Barford & Thompson, with Panmure Branch.
Brilliant. What sort of skills did you take from the hospitality days and the food and beverage days into this property management space?
Well, it was more of customer focus, giving them a good service, always giving them what we have promised, like not cheating them, not giving them false promise, but always like keeping our promises and giving them a good service.
That's cool. Cool. Customer service, Jeff, I imagine is so important in this role.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know much about Nepal. I know a little bit, and I certainly love the food. Yes. I actually had an amazing Nepalese dinner on Saturday night. Most beautiful. But anyway, I sidestep. Tell us, what's the housing like in Nepal, where if you're comparing it to New Zealand?
Well, comparing to New Zealand, we are not... well, it's also like getting better now, but we are not really protected by laws.
Right.
Like how it is in New Zealand.
Right.
Whereas like there are different kind of settings compared to New Zealand. And we don't need to give like we don't need to be particular in notices. We don't need to be particular in like the legislation. Whereas there are certain things that are mutually agreed by the owners and landlords and the tenants. So it's in between themselves. But there are particular laws created by government. But at the same time, it's more like mutual agreements in between the landlords and the owners.
Okay, Jeff, were you born here in New Zealand or overseas?
No, I born in China.
China? Yeah. What? Because Chinese investment rules are quite different in China, isn't it? Am I right that if you're a landlord in China, there's more expectation on the tenant to do maintenance than there is here?
Yes, correct. I think it's quite similar to Nepal, and if you own the investment property in China, then you have found a tenant, then like most likely like mutual agreement. There's no like such tenancy agreement like more formally compared to New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah.
And has that been a bit of an education point for Chinese owners here in New Zealand to learn that we do things under much stricter rules?
Yeah, exactly. During the past experience, I found quite a few Chinese landlords that still have a logic. They can do things in the old way, where they're in New Zealand, they didn't realize there's huge difference.
Mm.
There's things you can and there's things you can't do.
I remember when I first started as a property manager all those years ago, having to educate Chinese landlords just around simple maintenance. That to us, you know, why did you get that fix would be the question. It's like, well, we have to because the tenant needs the toilet working, etc. But it was a lot of pushback of, well, shouldn't they have sorted that? So you must spend your life educating your landlords as part of your role.
Yes, but again, when you get a good relationship and then they understand and you earn the trust, then they will, they're fabulous landlords.
Nice, nice. Sunaj, what would you say to another young person who's 19 thinking of a career starting out in property management?
I would like to say, first of all, you need to get yourself educated with all the regulations that New Zealand have. That's a must, and that's the most important thing if you want to progress in your career as a property manager and one day a head of property manager. So knowing all the rules and regulations and how the process works, if you don't know the process, you have to make sure that you know the process. If there is no proper process, then obviously you'll collapse. So I think something I would say, more stick to theory and practical knowledge. Like, experience you will gain over the time, but first of all you need to gather all your theoretical knowledge.
So if you're young and looking out for the first time, is it choosing a reputable company like yours where you know you're going to get that training and support to learn those things? Very important. Jeff, what do you think are the main benefits of having your property managed and not doing it yourself? I mean, we're in definitely a financial crisis out there. People are struggling, and private landlords might be saying, no, I'd rather save my percent each week going to you and do it myself. What are the benefits of having it managed?
Well, there are quite a few benefits managing by the professionals of your investment properties. So, for example, we offer the regular house inspections where comply with your property insurance requirement. Like, we do the inspections on three monthly basis to check, make sure every time we go there, the properties it's all compliant or no major maintenance that required. If the things do go wrong, and when you're trying to claim property insurance, they're going to ask for the retaining the inspection every 3 months. If you don't have one, then you might not be eligible to claim one. And there's so much more. For example, we are screening tenant. If you want to find a tenant, we always have a really good system screening the tenant, to qualify them, make sure they are a good tenant. Also, we have a we can provide the best suggestion to the landlord. You're making them refit,
And you're looking after maintenance and the rent collection. I guess you're chasing it when the tenant gets out, you know, behind in their rent.
Absolutely, that's the part of it. So we chase the rent. Even we go to the tribunal, we have to. Then it's all included in the service. So rather than you have to, because many of the landlord doesn't understand how this process, and when things go wrong, then they will have struggle to find a solution of it.
Sunaj, talk us through the process. If I'm a new landlord, I've come to you with my house, what's involved in signing up with you, getting the property advertised, rented, etc., allocating the tenant? Talk me through.
Well, first of all, I'll have a chat to you about if you're a new owner, and if you want us to manage it for you, then we'll first talk about the descriptions and the features about your property. And I personally feel that in person, and if I can view the property by myself, that's the best, because in that way I can more underline the property and details whenever I advertise the property. So second thing is that we will talk about our current market, what is the trend. We have our regular publishing documents where we find the trend, current trend, and we'll give you all three divisions, where in the three different quartiles, how much your property is able to achieve, and then you and me, we decide on agreement, then how much can we advertise the property for. Talking about the advertisement, we have got a system where we advertise the property, we publish the advertisement, the property through our software console, and it goes to different platforms like Hoggarden, realestate.co.nz, OneRoof, TradeMe, etc. And also, we have got this wonderful company who does the signboards and all those things for us. And that looks more appealing to the regular passers. And it's a great thing to advertise.
How involved can I be as an owner? Can I meet the prospective tenants? Can I look at the application forms?
Well, actually, I feel that's what you are paying us for. So we would like you not to have any hassle of having those things. Rather, I will just set up a meeting with you and I'll just give you a brief about all those things, like whatever the tenants have screened and whoever has visited the property, how they were, overall their credit scores, background scores and everything. And in a such way that you don't need to worry about anything and you just own the property hassle-free and tension-free.
What checks are you running on the applicants applying for my property? How do I know that these people have been well checked?
So, I personally, as a property manager, I don't really prefer friends giving references, because friends will obviously say good things about you. So I would prefer someone like a validated person to give you a reference, like your manager or probably
current landlords,
current landlords, and etc. Yeah.
Okay, and then what other checks do you run? Background checks, credit checks?
Yeah, credit checks and background checks. Also, we have got this wonderful software which pulls out the details, like all those police checks and everything. If they have got any criminal backgrounds or anything, then we're given that red flag immediately, so that we don't end up putting in bad tenants to your property.
Okay, cool. Jeff, you've been doing this for a while. Do you have a strong gut feeling when you meet someone at a property that they're going to be a great tenant? Is this something that you kind of learn over time, or have you slapped yourself around going, oh, how did I put that person in?
Absolutely. You learn as you go. And when you do more, you see more people coming to the viewing, the way how they present and the way how they talk to you. And you basically, you have a first impression, you know, if this is the right tenant for the property. And this is the first impression. Then after that, you'll be in touch with them and you have a good communication with them. You can better understanding if this is the right one that you're after for your landlord.
And what tips and tricks do you have for applicants completing a good application form?
Yeah, absolutely. First thing, after the each viewing, we will send the link online application form. So we will ask tenant to try to follow the instruction and supply all the required document and put their application as much as more details they can. So in that way, we don't have to go back to chase any missing document, so we can speed up for the application process.
Okay, what sort of things should the applicants be sending you sort of as proof that they can afford this? What can we ask for and not ask for, I guess, these days?
Yeah, so we basically cannot ask for how much you're paying rent at the moment, but we can ask their proof of income as a source of income to check the affordability of the renting the current property. And the other thing is the background checks, credit checks, and the photo ID, valued photo ID for the reference check, and also your current employer or your previous employer to check.
It must be hard being that first-time renter, and I mean, you must have felt it moving from overseas countries. You know, you haven't got that history of renting here, or perhaps you're 20, you've just left home. What do people do in that situation when they don't have a previous landlord or their references are overseas? Can you still rent a house?
Yes. So it's basically like you get that feeling, and you get that you get to see that in the application when the first time renters. Well, whenever we do the background screenings or credit checkings, we get to know that this person has got a credit which is slowly growing, and he or she is in New Zealand, Auckland for the first time and starting their journey. So we get to know that, and also if a student is moving here for university degree, then obviously we'll check with their
right.
With their professors or their college faculty. faculty if they can help her with the help him or her for the reference, so that we can easily make their renting process a easier way and a better way, and also like hassle free from them as well, because like when you're first time renting out, then you're quite stressed, you're quite like drained out, you don't know what to do, where to go. So that's why it's better that we do that way.
Nice, nice. Now, if we switch now to the property itself, healthy homes regulations have been a huge part of your workload over the past few years. With the deadline of 1 July looming, how are owners responding to getting their homes compliant?
It is quite serious and big issues, I think, for every landlord. For our landlord, they have, the majority of them, they are understanding this is something that they have to meet. So when we're in touch with landlord, we do explain what's happening and this is what we need to do before that. And we still have some landlord that we need to communicate with, so to make sure they understand how serious the government is to applying this thing to the rental properties without getting fines.
Because, am I correct, after 120 days from signing up a tenancy, or 1st of July, whatever comes first, if it's not compliant, you can't rent it?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
So it's illegal.
Yep. A very important stage. What sort of things are checked in a healthy homes assessment? What are they looking for?
So basically, there are five items at the moment. First thing is the heating. So you need to have a fixed heating, like in the lounge area, living area. There's a tool on the tenancy service website where you can calculate, but most of the landlord, they couldn't do it. We will need a qualified inspector to make sure there are installed heat pump is have enough produce enough heat to the living room to make sure as the property is compliant. And the other most important thing is the insulation and the ceiling insulation on the floor. It must be passed and thick enough. There's the R value, then you have to meet the minimum standard. And the other thing will be the ventilation, things like kitchen, like range hood. Do you have a range hood? Is it dotted outside? Some of the old property, they have a range hood, but it doesn't dotted outside. It's sucking the air into the roof ceiling space,
right,
and it's still going to fail. The other ventilation will be on the bathroom, because they have to have a fan to put the air outside of the room as well. Then the last thing will be on the ground moisture barrier, and to make sure that the no moisture getting in and from the on the floor to the house, and make sure it's a healthy home.
That list alone is enough of an excuse to get your property managed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, how many private landlords are prepared to, and I imagine there's quite a lot of paperwork around it.
Yeah, it's a lot, yeah.
What does an assessment like that cost, roughly?
Roughly, there are so many firms there that are doing the healthy home assessment. The mark around can be between 150 to 250 mark. Some of including the landlord's 13A statement, some of are not. Yeah.
Which is all part of the tenancy agreement,
yeah.
So required by law.
It is required by law.
And you mentioned right at the start of the show when I talked about why Balfe and Thompson, you said because you've got all these tradespeople that you can engage with. I guess this is the same. You'll be getting discounted prices than Mr. Public because you're able to put through so many requests a year.
Yeah, absolutely. We always get the best price for our landlord.
If a private landlord's listening and hasn't got things sorted yet, how quick can you take a property on and get assessments done and then work done?
Yeah, first thing, I would set up an appointment, having myself go to the property to see, and I will be able to tell most likely which one will be like fail. But then after that, and then we will arrange the special like qualified inspector to inspect the property. Then we can work on all the failed items for the remedial works. It doesn't take very long.
That's cool, that's cool. Sunage, you look after Pamua and surrounding areas. Why do you think these are good areas to invest in?
Well, there are quite a lot reason, but I will underline a few. It's vibrant and diverse place, first of all. And it's renowned for its wonderful natural features. So it has got a lot of, like the Panmure Basin, it's quite famous for like evening walks or morning walks. Like a lot of people enjoy it.
Okay.
And it's quite celebrated for bringing together Matariki. And we have this information that they are on a redevelopment plan in next 10 years. So recently they started the train station again. And in next 10 years, we will get to see a lot better things coming up in Panmure Town Center.
I've never heard anybody describe it as, what did you say, picturesque? And that's interesting. It's good to get a different insight into a space, because yes, often you just whiz through.
Yes.
Is it a popular place to live?
Yes, it's quite popular.
Affordable?
Yeah, it's affordable, yeah.
Yeah, but still a good return on investment?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And Jeff, last year, it was in the media, there was lots of stories, and Buffett and Thompson made the tough call to close your branch in the Panmure shops. Now, here you are today talking about Buffett and Thompson Panmure, so I'm guessing there's a little bit of confusion perhaps in what was out there, because you are still very much operating, or at least the property management side.
Yeah, so just to clarify, the our property management divisions of PAMU are still fully operating. The main reasons closed, obviously, for the safety issue, our staff, and also the salesperson has already moved to another branch. So we just basically changed the working location. So we are at the GI at the moment, and the directors are looking for the suitable new home, perhaps in Mount Wellington or Seville Park region, but still a work in progress for now. But we are happy with the Glenn's office at the moment.
Great. So working out at Glen Innes, and one day you'll have a flash sparkling new home, Mount Wellington Sylvia Park. Did that cause a bit of confusion for people? Because there was a lot of media stories that, you know, Buffett and Thompson had bailed from Panmure, but actually you're still running.
Yeah, we're still fully running, yeah.
So why should an investor listening choose you and your team?
Yeah, very good question. So we have a very dedicated team and team members that we're supporting each other, and we also provide our landlord best service, property management service as well. So yeah.
All right, Sunage, I'm going to ask you the same question. All right, we're going for gold here. Why choose you?
Well, more than me, I think let's talk about the team. Well, our team, we are quite multicultural. We come from different backgrounds and different knowledge and different practice. Also, we have got a maturity level where we share our experiences, and we get to learn from those things. So we make sure that our owners, our like whoever the investor is, they experience a great property management experience, and we will make sure that as a team, we are supported all the time. And we don't, if there's anything that we don't know, our team knows for sure. So if anyone comes to us, then obviously we'll cater everyone.
And you've got the backup, I guess, of the wider Buffett and Thompson network for support, for
yes,
training, for finding that information,
yes,
out.
Yes.
You just mentioned that you're a very multicultural team. So how many, what different languages do you speak?
Me personally, I speak three.
What are the three?
So English, Nepali, and Hindi.
Okay.
So I fluently speak all these three languages.
Brilliant.
Yeah, apart from that, we've got Chinese speakers in our team, Jeff himself. And also, at the same time, we have got a lovely team who speak multicultural languages like Gujarati, Hindi, and Mandarin.
Wow. That's a good mix. That's a good mix. And I guess if you think back to the earlier question around the makeup of the community in Panmure and surrounding areas, from an investor, no matter where in the world your investor might be, having staff that can speak the language of the tenants,
yes,
probably makes communication and everything so much easier. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So when people come from same background, they know their habits, their needs, especially when you know more, then you can present in all the issues, resolve it better.
Yeah. Jeff, you said at the start you're an investor yourself. What's been your biggest learning as an investor since you've been doing this job?
The biggest learning will be as an investor, you do have your responsibility and you do need to understand your customer needs and not just always thinking, oh, I invested and I need a profit, but obviously everyone need a profit, but at the same time, you always need to know about the tenant needs and you need to do your maintenance.
Okay, tough question now, coming for both of you. What are your long-term goals? If I get you back in Property Matters Season 11, what will you be telling me 5 years on that you've been doing? Jeff, what's the long-term goal for you personally, not the branch?
Yeah, so I guess I would step in more leadership role if it's any time I'm become available, and I probably looking for the bigger, you know, branch to go join, to train myself and to provide better service for the investors.
Okay, I like that. So having the bigger branch, more staff, more owners, more tenants, certainly going to add to the workload, but you see that as the next sort of step in the career for leadership?
Yes.
What do you think makes a good leader or a manager?
I guess you first become a good listener, because you and then you have to observe rather than you make changes. Because you need to know your team well, you know everyone, you know they're in person, not only just for work, and then you can talk to them and make a family culture, and then your team will be great and you can work together.
Beautiful answer. Nicely done. What's been your biggest learning as a leader?
The biggest learning will be to know people, because you have to know people first. And
I remember someone once saying to me, best thing you can remember as a leader is you don't know what's happened to them before they walk in the door. Yeah. Like, you know, we all bring our own lives into it. Something could have happened at home, etc., and then they walk in the door, and a good leader's got to remember that before you deal with the issue of the day.
Exactly.
Sunaj, 5 years' time, where do you want to be? What's your long-term goals?
Well, my long-term goals is to excel myself in this role and challenge myself to step out of my comfort zone and get into more like leadership role as Jeff is doing right now, like be more into management and also make sure that I keep on learning.
So when he disappears off to a bigger branch, you're going to try and get his job?
Yeah, fair enough.
What do you think makes a good leader from someone as young as yourself looking at different people leading you? What makes a good leader?
Something I've learned from Jeff is like someone who observes and listens to their team, like more than, and how you exactly said, like someone who should know that before entering the room that what's going on with that other person. So someone who listens and takes care of the whole team as a whole family and develops a good culture.
Nice. We've got a couple of minutes left. Funny stories. Have you had any funny stories as a property manager? Walked in on anything you shouldn't have walked in on, or turned up in anything that was going on was going on? Because these are all reasons why private landlords shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I had quite a few experiences. I'll just share one. It's during the routine inspection, where I've already seen the inspection notice a week ago before I arrive. Then what I do is I always when I arrive with the key, because I knocked on the door and no one answered, and I yelled, and it's the property manager come for the inspection, and then no one answered. So normally what we do is we use the office key to gain access. Once I opened the door, then the people was shocked, and then they were sleep in the middle of the sleep.
And
they come up.
That was actually quite calm. I wondered where we were going to go there. Okay, you got 30 seconds, Sunaj. Funniest story?
Yeah, so when I joined Barfoot, I went in for my first assignment by my HOP then was to go and inspect one house. Went inside the house. I had the key. So I spoke to the tenant earlier, and they said, like, no, we're not going to be home. You're more than welcome to just go in and inspect the house. So went in, opened the door, and the cat just ran outside.
Oh.
I was not in that knowledge that they have a cat.
Yeah.
So my 20 minutes was spent on bringing that cat inside the house.
Oh,
so
no.
That was the funniest story ever happened to me.
I hope you weren't allergic to cats.
No, luckily no.
Jeff and Sanders, thank you so much for coming on a Monday afternoon to fill us in. If you'd like to find out more or chat to the team, contact them at barfoot.co.nz/Pamua. All their details are there. You can click on their faces for more information. Thank you, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for having us.
We will catch you next week with Nicole Lewis launching her latest book. And remember, you can download our podcast from your favourite podcast site. I'll catch you next Monday. Travel safe. Have a great week.